Welcome to the Anabu AI blog in audio. Today we are talking about something most boards have not properly got to grips with yet, the energy cost of AI, and what responsible oversight actually looks like.
This is a timely one. The article is AI and Sustainability, Board Oversight of Energy Consumption and Green AI, by Brett Allegrewood on the Anabu AI blog.
And the headline argument is simple but quite confronting for a lot of boards. AI is not free to run. Every model you train, every query you process, it consumes energy, and that energy has a cost on the P&L and a carbon footprint that investors and regulators are starting to ask about.
Right, and I suspect a lot of business owners hear board-level AI energy oversight and assume this is for the big corporates, the ones with data centers and hundreds of engineers.
It is tempting to think that. But Brett's point is that this is creeping into Scope 3 emissions reporting. So even if you are not training models yourself, the AI you buy from vendors sits in your supply chain, and increasingly the disclosure rules are coming for that.
That is a real shift. So what does board oversight actually look like in practice?
The article lays out a three-phase program. Phase 1 is 0 to 90 days, establishing governance, defining energy thresholds, getting basic metering in place, and requiring what are called model cards for all new AI projects.
Model cards, what goes in those?
Predicted energy cost, the FLOPs involved, that is floating point operations, a measure of compute intensity, storage requirements, expected lifetime of the model, and fallback options. It is essentially a structured risk assessment before you approve a new AI project.
So the question stops being just, will this tool help us, and becomes, how much energy will it use, and who is accountable for that cost?
Exactly. And the article is specific about KPIs. Boards need a small, auditable set. Total energy consumption in kilowatt hours by business unit and by model stage, carbon intensity of the electricity used, energy per inference, and compute cost as a percentage of the IT budget.
That last one matters. Compute cost as a percentage of IT spend. Because if you do not track it, AI can quietly become a very large line item without anyone noticing.
It can. And Brett introduces the idea of internal carbon pricing, putting a price per ton of CO2e on your compute expenses. That forces teams to include the real environmental cost when they're deciding which projects to run.
I like that because it changes the conversation in a meeting room. It stops being just about accuracy or output quality and starts being about true cost, including the carbon cost.
Phase 2, 90 days to a year, is where procurement comes in. Green SLAs in supplier contracts, audit rights, requirements for vendors to publish their own energy metrics, PUE targets.
PUE being power usage effectiveness, how efficiently a data center actually uses the energy it draws.
Right. And the article flags that you should prefer suppliers with direct renewable power purchase agreements rather than those relying solely on unbundled renewable energy certificates, because certificates alone can be a lot less meaningful than they sound.
That is a procurement distinction most businesses would not know to ask about. It's the kind of thing that looks fine on paper but does not hold up under scrutiny.
Phase 3, 12 to 24 months, is executing renewable procurement, moving high-energy workloads to low-carbon regions, and getting independent third-party assurance on your emissions disclosures. Investors are expecting that verification now.
I want to bring it back to something practical for a smaller business. They're not running their own data center. They're using cloud services, SaaS tools, a few AI platforms. Where do they actually start?
The article has a decision framework for exactly that. Before approving any major AI investment, ask, what is the estimated energy consumption in kilowatt hours and the expected emissions in tons of CO2e? Are there lower energy alternatives, distillation, transfer learning, a smaller model? Can the workload be scheduled or located somewhere with a cleaner grid? And how will this be disclosed to investors?
Those questions work at any scale. Even a business with a small team buying an AI tool can go back to the vendor and ask for their energy metrics.
And if the vendor can't answer, that tells you something important about their own governance maturity.
There's also an internal culture piece in the article that I think gets overlooked. Mandatory green engineering workshops for data science and cloud teams, energy reduction targets built into performance metrics, developer tooling that alerts teams when experiments exceed energy budgets.
Because policy on paper does not change behaviour. The incentives have to follow the policy.
So the board approves the policy, the committee gets quarterly dashboards, the executive sponsor is accountable, but the engineers are the ones actually running the workloads day to day. You need all three levels aligned.
And the article's broader point is that this is not a compliance exercise. Energy efficient AI reduces operating costs, it's becoming a differentiator in procurement and customer contracts, and it positions the business well with investors.
So what is the one thing a listener should do this week?
Pick one AI tool or project your business is already running and ask your vendor two questions. What is the energy consumption for our usage and what percentage of that is powered by renewables? Just see what answer you get.
Mine is find out whether your board or leadership team has approved any AI policy at all, even a one-page document. If there is no policy, there is no governance, and that is the gap to close first.
You can read the full article at anabu.ai. And if you want Brett to work through what green AI governance looks like for your specific business, there's a free AI audit you can book there too.
Worth looking into.